Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
La Jolla, California. I'll be at the La Jolla Comedy Store August 5th through the 7th. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'll be there August 18th through the 20th. Austin, Texas. I will be there September 2nd through the 3rd. Get your tickets for those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And again, thank you for your support. If you're new here or if you've been here, I appreciate you. And make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube. Hit that subscribe, set a reminder so you get that episode video every Tuesday. Audio's on Monday. All right. If you got to have more, hit that Patreon. It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. You're getting a Honeydew a day early. You're getting it ad free. You're getting it at no additional cost. We've released, I think, 10 or 11 free episodes on this YouTube feed so you can see what they're like. And they are the wildest fucking stories you'll ever hear in your life. I promise you that. If you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And if I am in your town when you're home and I'm on tour, hit those tickets up for the Nightpants Nation tour on my website at ryansickler.com. Now, that's the biz. You guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And ladies and gentlemen, one of my absolute favorite storytellers is back to continue his life story. Please welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. Joey Diaz, welcome back to the Honeydew, brother.
I love it. What's happening, Ryan Sickler?
Everything is good, my friend. Everything is good.
How do I look? Do I have to fix the camera a little
bit? No, you look great. You look great, brother. I love the background. But you look healthy. You look good. I know you're back out there a little bit right now. Maybe that gave you a little shot of fucking adrenaline up in the arm. You actually hit me up and said, hey, let's do another one. So I'm glad. I'm glad. I know you're feeling it. Good for you. And you say, you know, I wanted to say, I promised my daughter, I called you and I wanted to mention this. I'm in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and she's watching this cartoon called Big City Greens on Disney Plus.
I love it.
Right? And I hear this. And she's like, Dad, come here and look at this guy. And she's like, look at this trick he's doing. He's swindling this guy. And I'm watching it, and it's fucking you. I go, stop. He's a great friend of mine. That's Joey Diaz. We watch the credits. We call you. Oh, she goes, you're doing Joey Diaz today? I go, yeah, I'm doing. She's like, can I listen? I'm like, you definitely can't listen. No, you can't.
love. Dog, kids love that fucking show.
It's a great
my
one, dude.
My daughter loves it. My daughter uses that as a, whatever the fuck, the statue of me. She uses it as a fucking, I don't know, on a
little,
on Instagram.
The avatar or whatever. Yeah, I love it. It's great, dude. Good for
you. They called me and they were like, you know, we want you to come down. I walked in, there was a bunch of people in there, like reading roles, fucking the guy from Sons of Anarchy. And it was great. It really was great. And I got a lot of traction out of that role for the kids.
That's awesome, dude. I love you. Got range, brother. You're getting killed on HBO and you're getting resurrected on Disney Plus. I love it, brother.
What's better than $200? What's better than, I told the kid, hey kid, what's better than $100? He goes, what? I go, $200.
My daughter and I say it, dude. It's great, man. So thank you for being back. Let's get into it, brother. We left off in 1999. You were in the basketball movie, and you were stealing all their fucking rollerblades.
Roller skates. There was no, yeah. By the time I did my role, which was a fucking line and a half, there was no roller skates over size 8. Like, everybody would have fucking ingrown toenails because they had to put on small fucking roller skates. They couldn't figure it out. But I'll tell you what happened after basketball, because when you hit me up with this, I wanted to tell this story. Because, listen, I was in L.A. for 2 years, and I was just a fucking... I was at the store. I was, making waves, but I really wasn't making waves. I was having the best time of my life doing coke and being at the store and hanging out with Ralphie May. I mean, that was, if I was going to starve and struggle, that was the way to do it, you know? So for 2 years, I had been in L.A. just, you know, finding my way.
And can I ask you real quick, is basketball your first movie role?
First feature.
It is. Feature.
First,
okay.
Big feature. I did a couple short films, whatever, but nothing with the magnitude of, you know, fucking people opening doors for you and people helping you with your shirt on and all that shit. That's a feature film, you know? So after I shot that film, I had a plan for L.A. And my plan was simple. I'm going to stay in L.A. till I fail, like miserably. And then I'm going to drive to Colorado, kill my ex-wife and a husband, and then go to New York and sell coke until they kill me. That was the fucking plan. That is a sad fucking plan. But at that time, I failed at so many things. I was getting ready to fail. Like, I thought I would steal a microphone or hit somebody in the head, and then it would be all over for me. Steal a bottle of booze. Like, I was stupid like that for years. But when I got to L.A. and I got that role, I remember driving home from the Comedy Store one night. And, you know, like, I had to follow Dom Herrera at the Comedy Store. Yeah. I fucking hated him because I couldn't follow him. Every time I had to follow Dom, it was the longest 15-minute drive ever to the store. And it was one of those nights when I did well at the store. And on the way home, like, I wasn't doing coke that night. I don't know what happened. Maybe the Colombians didn't show or whatever. I was sober. And I remember thinking to myself, Joey, you're on to something. You just figured out a way to follow Dom. I did really good behind Dom. And I got this fucking feature film. I don't feel like a criminal no more. I had done some crazy stuff. These dudes owed me money for a bet I put in at the store. I put in like this $800 bet with no money at all. If I would have lost the bet, I would have had to deal with them at the store coming down there and threatening me. Well, I went over there and I borrowed a gun from my ex-manager and I went over there and I got my $800. They didn't want to pay me. They were like, oh, you have to leave a deposit and then we'll pay you $200. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? So I was doing a couple things like that. I got in trouble at the store, like not in trouble. I had pushed a guy and we got into a fist fight and stuff. At that time, I was known as a wild card and I didn't think I would fucking make it. People were pulling Rogan aside and saying stuff to Rogan all the time. That kid's crazy. So, but that particular night, I was like, wait a second. I'm a criminal. I understand that. I'm an orphan. I'm all these negative things, but I just followed Don Marrera at the store. After 2 years, I figured out that fucking puzzle. And I just booked a feature fucking film.
Yeah,
this is from somebody who not thought they would never even book an extra role because I wasn't good enough inside. I was like, I'm garbage. I'm never going to book. So when I booked it, I pulled over. And I remember thinking to myself.
Where? Tell me, because I know everywhere out here. Where'd you pull over?
I pulled over in Fountain by the fucking Gorky Park, by the Russian Park.
Yeah.
Now it's White People Park. But when I got to L.A., it was a Russian park. People sold nickel bags down there and shit.
That whole neighborhood was Russian. I lived there. I lived off of Poinsettia for a little bit by Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Oh, yeah. We were all there at 98. Ralphie, me, Doug Stanhope, Mitch Hedberg, Nick DiPaolo, all of us lived in that Curson Vista area, Sierra Bonita. So I remember just pulling over there and thinking to myself, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, I was, whoa, stop the presses. A fucking convicted felon, who's basically a criminal, just booked a feature motion picture. Okay, we're on to something. For the first time in my life, I've got the second base with something. So it really made me think of what was going on at that time. So I had a couple negatives. You know, I was homeless. I had a fucking girlfriend that I loved with all my heart, but it was just a fucking problem being with her. It was a fucking problem being with her. I was with her for 5 years, and it was never fucking ending. And I loved her to death. She had good pussy. She would do things. She put bottles in her ass. You know, she did anything sexual that you asked. You know, she was the real deal. I'm godfather to her first son after we broke up.
Are you stuff. Really?
I'm still friends with her. You know, I still call her and torment her. You know, you got an old pussy and all that shit. But she had to go. She had to go. The cocaine wasn't going anywhere. That was accepted already, but she had to go. It was just too many fucking headaches. I decided at that point, Josh Wolf had given me a car. Did we talk about that already?
I think so. Was it the one about you guys all borrowed it and you ran the shit out of it? Some old manager's car or something, I think it was.
Yeah. 10,000 in tickets and all this shit. Very sad, but that car got towed. You know, and it was a big joke that my apartment got towed because I lived in the car. You know, Ralph, you know those guys. Your apartment got towed. So they towed everything from me. And I was broken. Like, this is one of those tests L.A. puts you through. And anybody who's watching this, you're all going to be put through this test. It's things are going really good in your career, but things are going horrible in your personal life. This happens, and you have to figure it the fuck out, because if not, you'll lose them both. You'll lose the career, and you'll lose whatever you got going on in your personal life. Whatever it is, a mom, a wife, a brother who's aggravating the fuck out of you. Once that car got towed, I was lost, and I went to that girl's house. That's where it got towed, at her house. We had broken up. And I went up there to give her a stabbing like 3 weeks later. And sure enough, the bad luck from her ran into me and my car got towed. So I'm like, now whatever thoughts I had are fucking, they're cemented. They're fucking cemented. You know, I got to get rid of her. So about a month later, her and I would break up for a month. And then we'd go back with each other. Then we'd break up. Then we'd go back. She called me. We were going to get together. And I ended up buying like a fucking, like a brisket. I spent, like, I had like $60. You know, when you're a comic, you got $60 and this is it. There ain't no bank account. Dad's not sending me $1,000 on Monday. You know, I had $60. And I liked her. And I told her this. I got $60. Don't fuck with me. So she goes, let's go shopping and have a nice meal. So we ended up, and I bought like a London broil, whatever the fuck you call them, those big pieces of meat.
Yeah.
And before we get to the supermarket, we get home. I remember it was a Sunday, and it was like 90, towards the end of 98. And it was like a Sunday. And before the fucking dinner was done, we got into it. We just got into a heavy duty fucking brawl. And the brawl, the argument went out into the street. You know, And it was like, you know, I'm done with you. You know, we were just arguing that breakup argument, you know, fuck you, I want you out of my house, all this shit. And finally, she got mace to spray me with mace on the street. And I had the roast beef in my hand, whatever the fucking. And I'll never forget being on in Hollywood on fucking, you know, one of those side streets, Vista, another one down from Vista. And her and I are in the middle of the street on a Sunday at 2 o'clock arguing. And she shoot me with mace and I'm swinging the roast beef at her. You know, I don't know.
In the street, dude. In the
I got to be 36 or 37 at that time, you know, and I was starting to get a little self-aware. You start to get a little self-aware as you get older. Like, what the fuck am I doing, you know? And I swung at her with the fucking roast beef and missed her. And then I just stopped. And I go, what the fuck are we doing? What is this? I'm 37 years old. I just finished a fucking movie, the biggest movie of my life. I'm at the world famous fucking Comedy Store. And I'm fist fighting with a girl in the middle of the street on a fucking Sunday. She shoot me with mace and I'm swinging at her with a roast beef, blocking my eyes. That I've done 1,000 things. That was not going to work. And I'll never forget. I told her to go fuck herself. And I just turned around and walked up the Sunset with my $30, my uncooked roast beef. And I brought it to Ralphie Mays. He cooked it.
With mace on it. With mace on it.
Holy shit. I brought you. He was all excited. Let's cook it up. You know, so we cooked. I was cooking. I said, I got to wait. She kept, I had a pager then. I didn't even have a cell phone. I had a pager. And she kept paging me. She's going to fucking have her brother kill me. Whatever. Stupid girl shit. And I'll never forget when I ate, I called Joe Chadwick in Miami Improv. And I go, Joe, I'm in a fucking bind. I got to get the fuck out of here. Do you have any work for me? And he goes, I don't have an MC the next 6 weeks. I said, I'm the Newhouse MC at the Miami Improv. And I got on the plane. I got away from that fucking wench. I got on the plane and I went down there and worked my material, bought clothes, because they told everything. My clothes, my sneakers, my everything, warm-up suits, headshots, VHS tapes, and I couldn't untow the car because I didn't have the registration.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
So they wouldn't even let me get in the car to get my shit, those cocksuckers. So I had to start from scratch. So I would go down there, snort coke, work out, and buy clothes. That's all I was doing. I was doing every show I could. The black show, everybody was giving me work. And after about 8 weeks, I had about $1,500 and I came back to LA. Now it's 99. I'm living with a friend of mine. I'm living on Ralphie's couch, Celine's couch. God rest her soul. God rest his soul. Yes, I'm living on all these couches on 1440 North Garden. I'm doing stand-up. I don't even know where I'm going to sleep. I mean, it was such a renegade fucking life, like just going to do stand-up at the store and not knowing where you're going to end up at night. Some nights I'd end up at a black chick's house in Beverly Hills snorting coke. Some nights I would end up at a fucking party. Some nights I would sleep in a car. Some nights I would go into 1440. There'd be like 2 weeks I'd have a bed because a lot of comics lived in 1440. So they'd leave town. I'd pick their lock and I'd just sleep on their bed for a fucking week. Ralphie's bed, Celine's bed, Gentry's bed. And then after I got my shit together, I said, I'm still not ready for L.A. I want to, you know, I was in L.A. I was fighting for like 2 years. And beside that that car getting towed and me fighting with the girl, I fucking ate a bag of dicks one night following Doug Stanhope at the Improv at Freaky Monday, one of the biggest fucking shows of the week, industry out the ass. Doug Stanhope goes up there before me and decides to say, it's easier to jump over a midget than a black guy. But he didn't say the word black guy. He said the word. And the fucking place, like it was a black night. What do you expect them to do? Chris Tucker was in the audience. And he goes, get that fucking white boy off the stage.
Wow. Holy shit.
So now he gets off the stage. Coming to the stage, Joey Diaz. I walked up there.
That's what you got to go after.
I walked up there to crickets, more crickets, and dead crickets. I didn't get a fucking giggle in 10 minutes. I left there. I walked out the door. I think I cried myself home. How can you bomb on a Monday night? That's so I was like, fuck it. I'm not going back till I make sure that's never going to happen again. So I basically went to Miami, came back, hung out with Ralphie for a few weeks, and I talked this girl, Jody, she had a car, into going back to basics. Even though I was a regular at the store, even though I had done movies, I had also booked the Taco Bell commercial, like I had a calling there. I had a fucking opportunity there. I went on a triple run.
Yeah.
I went an 8-week trip.
Damn.
Which turned into a 20-week run.
Are you fucking, so you're driving all those spots and doing that?
Dog, when you do comedy, you do comedy. When you know how to get better, there's a way that you just go, I'm going to get fucking that much better. So I did, the tour started in November, and I did not, you didn't come home in those days. It wasn't like you came home like Tom and showered and went back out Thursday. You didn't have the money. You have the money. You had the money to fly back and not fly to the gig the following week, or you had the money to stay in a hotel. That was it. Eat Subway sandwiches, veggie and cheese, and anything else you could fucking get for $2. So I stayed out from the beginning of November to like April
29th. Damn. And used to go. That's in the 2000 now, right?
So now we're into 2000.
Okay, so you're out on the road for the first 4 months of 2000?
I started a tour with a girl that was a party machine. She doesn't even do comedy anymore. Great, great friend. We still talk. I'm tight with her and her sister. We went on a fucking, every night we would drink a bottle of tequila, a bottle of this liqueur, and beers. And if we got Coke, we got Coke. If we didn't, we didn't. It started at the 8 Ball Inn. In Idaho. And the doorman was a girl. And I asked her if she'd get me 8 Ball. And she goes, absolutely. And she did get me some fantastic Coke. She brought it to the hotel room. She was hotter than fuck. And then she goes, do you mind if I fix? I go, what are you talking about?
Oh, shit. Okay.
She goes, I'm going to fix in your room. She fucking fixed with Coke in my room. She did some needles. And then we fucked around a little bit. She goes, don't tell nobody. I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm not going to judge you. But that's the first night of that tour. That just goes to show you.
That's how it kicked off. Yeah,
that's how it kicked off. Oh, you know what we were drinking? Kawaka.
Oh, I remember that shit.
And we did this every fucking night. This tour was only supposed to be until like March. But then I got a call from Miami Improv. And me and this girl went down there for 3 weeks.
Jesus.
I headlined 1 week, and I featured 2 weeks, and she emceed 2 weeks. We headlined for Dave Chappelle.
No way.
Yeah. There's still a picture at the Miami Improv of me, Dave, and Jody sitting there stoned to the fucking gills. But I went on a hell of a fucking tour. I went from Idaho all the way to Miami and all the way back to Texas to El Paso. And the tour ended in El Paso, and I was done. I came home in like May of 2000, and
that's L.A. Back to L.A. in May of 2000. Okay,
L.A. I moved in. A friend of Josh Wolf put me up in his house, Gavin. I paid him like $200 a month to sleep on his couch. And again, I was just living the fucking wildest life. Like, it was just comedy. No working out, no walking, no eating carrots. There was no drinking water. You know, you're making $300 a week. I'm making $15 a spot. I'm eating whatever they give me. At that time, I used to eat a Wendy's junior cheeseburger every day for a dollar. They had the dollar menu, a bowl of chili, and a salad. That's what I was living off of. And then cocaine. And comedy like a motherfucker, eating all the fruit up at the store. I read a book that Kennison and Carl LeBeau used to go up there early and eat all the fruit to make the drinks. So I started eating the fucking
olives. Okay, I see. The olives and all that shit.
Yeah. I'm getting a full balanced meal up at the store. It's really crazy when you think of those times. Like, I was just in love with comedy. Like, there was no women at that time. Like, that time I said, I got an opportunity to do this. Forget being a criminal anymore, but I'm going to tighten everything up. I'm going to tighten my life up. I got to get rid of this girl. And I got to really tighten up my fucking comedy game. And that's what I did in that fucking... So when I got back in May, I just went kicking it up at the store. I started auditioning again. And it felt really fucking good, you know? I couldn't keep living how I was living. There was a girl on Sunday nights who would come to the comedy store and we would do DMT with, not DMT, the shit that you drink. GHB, whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, I know what GHB is.
We would drink that shit and go back to our house and do drugs and Valium. And I would wake up on Monday morning at her house all fucked up. We'd spend the night together. It was just the life I wanted, to be honest with you. You know, when you read Ladies and Gentlemen, Lenny Bruce,
yeah,
he's a fucking wild man in that book. Anybody who reads that book and doesn't want to do comedy, you're a fucking faggot. Because that book will make you do comedy, even if you're a deaf mute. You're like, what? Hang out with strippers, get my dicks up, hang out at the burlesque club and do crack stupid jokes? That's great comedy. And that's the life I was living, guys. And it was scary. But God always has a plan for you.
Life can be overwhelming, and many people are burned out without even knowing it. Symptoms can include lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment, fatigue, and more. I know when I'm burned out, I feel sorry for myself. I don't eat right. You know, I'm tired all the time. I just feel like I've hit a wall. We associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel burned out. And BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life. You know that I'm a big believer in therapy. Everyone's always worried about how they look and not about what's going on in their mind. You know, get that gym going on in your mind, okay? BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Honeydew listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/honeydew. That's betterhelp.com/honeydew for 10% off your first month. When you know more, you can do more. What if you could use science to discover more about your body? Find out what you need for healthier tomorrow with Everlywell. Everlywell is digital healthcare designed for you at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need. Everlywell has high-quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health, including vitamin D3 and omega-3 fish oil. Here's how it works. Everlywell ships products straight to you with everything needed in one package. Simply collect your sample and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. Your physician-reviewed results get sent to your phone or device in just days. You can even share the results with your primary care physician. I've taken multiple tests now, and again, food sensitivities I found out never knew I had, man. It's so simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everlywell to support their health and wellness goals, and you should too. For listeners of my show, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/honeydew. That's everlywell.com/honeydew for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
So towards the end of the month in June, I was walking into the store. And I was walking into the original room to check in. In 2000, you had to check in with the sound girl, you know, in the original room. And as I was walking up the steps, I saw this girl with blue eyes. And we just caught eyes. And it was that those catches where even as I turned around, I kept looking at her. Like it was like a weird feeling. She was a pretty girl, but not enough for me to fall over myself. But I noticed that we just locked eyes. We were just looking at each other, you know. So I think the next night I was there and she was there. She was a waitress. And I started talking to her a little bit. And she started talking to me, you know. I was an animal at that time. And I had a reputation as an animal at the store, you know. And I remember about that time, right when I met her, like the week that I met my wife, I got into a fight up at the store. Some guy said that I was only funny because I was doing coke before my set. If anybody knows anything about me, I respected the hell out of comedy. I did coke my first year in comedy. I wasn't even doing comedy a year. And on St. Patty's Day in Boulder, I decided to do a couple lines and go on stage. And it really fucking, I didn't do well. So I go, mental note, I don't know what Richard Pryor was talking about. You can't do coke and go on stage. You know, Richard never did coke and went on stage. But in my mind, he did. So I got so pissed off at this kid that he was talking to me from like 6 feet away. And I was in the building in the back door. And he was over here. And like I'm telling you guys, I was buck wild then. And I just threw a bottle at him.
I thought you were going to say you charged him.
Dog, he was standing next to another comic that's well known. And it didn't even faze me at all. I had a Heineken bottle and I just whipped it at him. And he fucking ducked and the bottle hit the wall and they fucking ran out of there. And I chased the guy, you know, and he ran. I was 400 pounds. I wasn't going to catch him, but I made my fucking point. It was funny. The next night when I was headed to the store, I was at a light by coaching horses. And the well-known comic he was with saw me and ran up to the car. He was like, hey, that was not with me last night. That was, comics are such pussies. You know, he was laughing at the joke when he said it to me. But now it had nothing to do with him because I threw a fucking bottle at his head, you know. And then that fucking dude, he used to be a guitar comic. All right, I'm not going to mention any names. And when he got passed, he was a guitar comic. So one night Mitzi went in. It was the only night Mitzi went in and David Tell is there. And this fucking jerk off goes on stage without the guitar. And he dies a slow death. And just as he's leaving, Mitzi grabs him and goes, listen, I better not see you on the stage without the guitar again.
Oh, shit.
So now we're outside 2 hours later, an hour later. The guy's like, fuck Mitzi. Fuck her. She doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about. Now, I love Mitzi, sure. I loved her like a mother at that time, you know. And I would have stabbed this mother. Like, I'm like, look at this dumb fuck, you know. She's been doing this for 30 fucking years, and she's developed stars, but he's out here saying that Mitzi's a cunt and all this shit, and he's giving names of people who went away from the store and became all this famous shit. So he left the store. 6 months later, I see this motherfucker at the room that Dane Cook became a star at.
Dublin.
On Sunset, Dublin. And I see him, and I go, hey, how you doing? I got a couple drinks in me.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
I got a couple bumps in me. You know me. I don't like the guy as it is, but what he said to me. So now I got to drop some knowledge on him. I go, hey, how you doing? He goes, great. He goes, yeah, I'm going to call into the store. I'm going back to the store. I go, dog, I don't know if you've spoken to Mitzi lately, but your guitar ain't going to work. You better show up with a three-piece fucking band. You better come in with a drummer, a saxophone. You better come in, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he got pissed because he was a shitty comic. And, you know, for him to say to me that we snorted coke or whatever. So I just fucking chomped him at the bit, this motherfucker. Like, when you come back, you better bring a big fucking band because she's not going to let you back in there. So he came back to the store one night and got tough. And this chick that I like, the waitress came over. And she's like, fuck this motherfucker. You know, do what you want, blah, blah, blah. And I started talking to this chick. And we started talking all night. And then it was July the 3rd. I had a gig in Lake Havasu. So she goes, are you calm now? Are you ready to go home? And I go, yeah. Thank you for talking to me. She's like, what are you doing for the 4th? I go, I got a gig in Havasu and I don't have a ride. I got to figure out how I'm going to get there. And she goes, I'm not doing nothing. I'll give you a ride. Just give me gas money. She's my wife today.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So that is awesome.
We just had our anniversary, 4th of July weekend. So,
Oh, yeah. Congrats, brother. How many years?
22.
Fuck yeah, man. Congrats.
So I was a savage at the store, you know, light my balls on fire, having a great time. But once I met my wife, it was all over. And I didn't even know she was going to be my wife, you know?
Of course, yeah.
But we had to keep it under a hat for a long time because Mitzi Shaw didn't want you dating the employees. So we couldn't tell anybody. And one night we went food shopping about a month afterward and Eleanor saw us at Rouse. And she's like, what the fuck is this? You guys dating? We're like, yeah, we're dating. And then we were just dating. And again, she was so nice. I didn't really want to date her. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She was a nice girl. She was too nice of a girl for me. So I kept her arm's distance. You know? I would take her out on dates and shit like that. But when I was at the store, I would just try to be cool and get her out of there. I didn't want her mixing in my other world, you know? But it was really funny that she was so fucking sweet, I didn't want to date her, like, at all. Ryan, I was trying to stay away from her after a month. I'm like, I can't be with this girl. I'm just going to do something stupid, and she can't handle it. I don't want to hurt nobody. You know, I'd already been married and divorced. And right now, I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I was just looking to do comedy and to fuck and suck and snort coke. I didn't want nobody to, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I do know what you're saying. Yeah.
I want a fucking girlfriend. Like, I want to fucking hold my head. So I fucking avoided her a lot, you know? And then one night I was going to New York. It was like August. We had been together about a month and a half. I was going to New York and I didn't go to the store the night before. I had like maybe $20 to go to New York with. I had the money for the ticket. And for $20, I was going to mooch off my brother when I got here. And she fucking just showed up at Ralphie's at 2 a.m. And she's like, why haven't I seen you? And I go, I've been busy. You know, and she's like, let's hang out. Come over. And I went over to her house. And she's like, how are you getting to the airport? And I go, I have no fucking idea. So she goes, I'll give you a ride. We stayed up all night. And then at the end of the night, I'll never forget this. She goes, do you have any money? And I go, yeah, I got $20. And a couple of cigarettes. And she goes, take my cigarettes and take my $40. She had made like $50 the night before at the Comedy Store as a waitress. And she goes, take that money. I'd never taken money from a woman before. Like, that's not even in my realm. You know what I'm saying? I'll rob a bitch. But to take money, you know, I robbed a couple bitches in my day. I robbed a chick once I met at the Comedy Store. I was eating a pussy. And I'm trying to take the money out of her pocket. And she fucking, when she picked me up, and I didn't pick her up at the Comedy Store, I picked her up at the Laugh Factory. She got thrown out of Laugh Factory because she was heckling comics. So when I was leaving, she comes up to me. She's like, were your feelings hurt? I go, no, I didn't even know you were there. Yeah. You know? And we start talking. She's pretty cute. And she goes, do you want to go get a drink? And I'm like, yeah, let's go get a cocktail somewhere. I didn't know any bars. You know, I'm not a drinker, so I didn't know any bars. So I said, let's just go to a liquor store. Oh my God, Ryan Sickler. When we went to the liquor store, she bought a bottle of vodka. And when she won her purse, she took out a fucking gangster roll. Like
that,
hundreds.
That gas station wad cash. And
I'm like, dog, this bitch is going down, right? I had like a gram of Coke, maybe a little less. I'm doing lines with it. I'm looking at that wad. I'm like, I already called Dante. I'm like, dog, I got a pigeon. What time you close? And he's like, 1. I'll be there before 1. This chick was staying at a Japanese restaurant, at a Japanese hotel downtown. She was working for a computer firm, and they put her up for a seminar. So she goes, if you want, we can go back to my hotel and finish off that Coke and shit. So we get back to the hotel. We're finished. We do a couple lines, you know. She goes, let me slip into something more comfortable, whatever the fuck. Like, I don't even know. She put like a top on. That's what it was. Because she had on like a tight thing with fucking, with her tits popping out. So she put on like a bed thing, but she had her jeans on and her shoes. And we start swapping spit. And she stops and she goes, I have a boyfriend. I'm going to be so good. And I'm like petting her. It's like when you do a virgin Catholic girl on the walk home, you got to pet their back. They're crying like, I'm going to go to hell now. No, you're not. You pet. I go to purgatory. So, this fucking times. We're swapping spit. We're not even doing nothing heavy. And he would break away and go, I got a boyfriend. I feel so guilty. I'm like, listen, where's your boyfriend? He's like, in Seattle. So, fuck him. Don't worry about it. What's your man got to do with me? I got a man.
That's right.
I'm not going to hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember that song.
So, one thing leads to another. Finally, I tell her, listen, I want to lick your fucking monkey. And she can't she can't take it. So I take her little jeans off and I'm watching that bulge. But what she did to me was that she took the gangster roll and she took the singles from the middle and she put the singles on top. Now that made the gangster roll a Jewish roll. So I'm eating a pussy and I'm trying to pickpocket, right? And I'm taking out singles. I'm like, what the fuck? And her pussy had sweat to it, so it smelled kind of weird. It was like a Fear Factor type of fucking...
Fear Factor!
I'm eating the tzatziki pussy. It tastes like that the gyro sauce. It's got that little Greek smell to it. I'm eating the pussy. I close my nose without the fingers. Like, I'm trying to, like, not cheat. Digging in her asshole with my tongue. But the whole time I'm trying to pickpocket her. A 10-minute Fear Factor episode. I finally got her for $200. I popped my head up and put a quarter in the meter. This is the funniest story ever. I fucking get in that car and I shoot to Dante's house, the drug dealer. It's 5-1. I just made it. I go in. I go, here's 200. Give me 200 worth of coke. He goes, you owe me 50 from the online. No worries. And all of a sudden he looks at me and goes, you smell funny. And I go, yeah. I was eating some old Greek pussy. It smelled like something out of Jimmy's Seafood. It smelled like a clock of Jimmy's Seafood. But I ate it. But I popped out of there like a savage. The next day, I had some canker sores and shit. I lived, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. If you eat pussy and you got a canker sore, that's not good pussy. But every once in a while, you got a batch of bad pussy. It's like a bad tomato. It's like a bad avocado, you know what I'm saying?
So did you go back? Did you go back or are you out of there?
No. Who goes back?
I want to make sure.
He was really cute. I think she was a vegan. Vegan chicks that pussy smell. Because women need meat. When they don't eat meat, pussy has wang in the deep. Wang. Deep in the middle. Deep, deep in the middle. When you're fingering it before the flies come out, it's got that little wang in there.
I'm going to get sick. Oh, man.
Is there a young girl in your office? You have like a girl intern right now?
My producer, she's cursed it over there.
Going, I didn't know flies came out. Yeah, you're not looking. Fucking moaning and groaning. Bats are coming out, flies, bats. Liquids.
My stomach hurts so bad.
When I went back to New York. I was only home for like 3 days. And when I got back, she picked me up at the airport and we started talking and she goes, why don't you just come to my house for a few days and lay low there and relax? I wasn't feeling good. And I'll never forget. she goes, if you want, you could stay here a few days. Why don't you go pick up some clothes? And I go, what are you talking about? This is it.
These are my clothes.
Yeah. I had like four pair of jeans, four t-shirts, maybe like a nice shirt, socks, no underwear. I didn't wear underwear then because it's either cocaine or underwear. You gotta make up your
mind. You gotta make up your mind.
You gotta make up your mind. You can't have them both. It's either cocaine or fucking underwear. Get it together.
Is a good call, though. You don't need underwear if you have pants. Nah, you don't. Nah.
You got to work with what you got. When you're a coke fiend, you got to work with what you got.
Oh, shit. Okay. So you're going to stay at her place?
Yeah. She asked me to stay with her, and I felt really shitty because I thought, like, this is going to end bad. Now I'm living with her, you know? So the whole time I was with her, those first 2 years, I was really protecting her. And we were both in the same place. She didn't know about my addiction. She had an idea. She was coming off drinking. She wasn't a big drinker, but she didn't like drinking because it made her black out and stuff. So we were both coming from the same place. We were both fucking broke as shit. I mean, her rent was $700, rent control in Hollywood, and I could barely make my $350.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You know, I was always have to borrow money from Ari or Joe just to make rent, you know. But it was so weird. She had a cat. And the cat didn't like me. But then after a year, the cat started liking me. And it was so crazy. I used to come home for the cat. Like, I never had the nap, you know. Like, I never had a life at this point since I was 16. Now I'm 37, and I'm finally in a relationship that I really liked her. I really respected her because, obviously, I don't want to do shit. Like, I never brought cocaine into that house. I always did it outside and ran it and shit inside, but I never did cocaine. And the night I did do cocaine, we'll get to later in one of the few episodes. But I don't know. It was me living with her made me respect her home. So I stopped acting like a savage at the Comedy Store. And I started taking auditions a little bit more seriously. I think the first thing I booked after I moved in with her was like Mad TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I booked a Chaz Palminteri movie called Women Versus Men. And I'll never forget, like, we got like a check for $600. And our first dinner together was at that Sizzler. Like, we were going to fucking Sizzler, guys. Like, Sizzler, to eat those Sizzler cancer shrimps. Those little little Katrina shrimps, you know.
Katrina shrimp.
That was it, guys. You know. Me and this girl lived in a one-bedroom studio.
God.
You know, we slept in the closet. We both smoked cigarettes. You know, we were both sharing cigarettes. I mean,
let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Because also, you and I have one thing in common. From 16 on, I have no parents myself. I'm raised by the streets, raised by the wolves. You know, I feel it genuinely has put me behind. I always think it's about 10 years. I'd love to say I have a fucking master's in street smarts and normal shit, I feel like I'm stunted and it's things I still need to learn and grow that other people had parents have told them, right? So at this point now where you're sort of calming down, do you start to feel maybe part of a unit, like part of a team, a family, so to speak? You said you started coming home for the cat, and I get that with my dog. I'm like, I just want to go home and kick it with the fucking dog and pet on the dog. You know what I mean? Like, do you start to feel like you had something to belong to, you know, where a place to be? What do you attribute that shift to?
You know, I was getting sick and tired. We all get sick and tired. We get sick and tired of situations we're in. We get sick and tired of relationships we're in. You know, I was sick and tired of relationships I was in. I was like in a, since the time I had gotten divorced, I had been in a, my love life was horrid. It was a sex life. And I didn't enjoy it. I mean, we all love pussy. We all like eating ass and putting coke on a chick's pussy and eating it, you know, all that
we
shit.
All.
You know, we all love that shit. But it was getting old. It felt empty. You know, I didn't have a girlfriend in Boulder. I had a couple girls, and they would only come over to do coke and fuck and suck. And then they went home, and God, I wouldn't hear from them for a week. Then they would call again, you know. So it was like, I didn't want a relationship, but it was nice just to have a nice girl around. She was just a nice Irish girl, you know. That's the other thing. I always dated Irish girls when I was growing up, and I had no problems. You never have a problem with an Irish girl. When an Irish girl picks a crazy motherfucker, they're a match made in heaven, because Irish fathers are crazy. So they're used to it. Irish girls will take anybody. I love them. I love them with all my heart. Even my friendships where women are Irish, our relationships are off to a different, they know I'm crazy. The lady around the corner is an Irish pharmacist. Right, she's a pharmacist at CVS. The head pharmacist is genius of a woman. Her and I talk every fucking day. She got two kids. Her husband drove me to do comedy that night. But her and I have a genuine bond. An Irish woman and me, we could take over the world. And that's what happened with this chick. Like, she was Irish, and she was my girlfriend, and I had gotten away from Irish girls since I left North Bergen. But when I was a kid, I dated the McNeils, the fucking Morans. I loved Irish girls, you know. Like Colleen Maines, that's the one that told me her mother died. Like, I couldn't date her no more, because whose mother dies when you're five? What the fuck did you do? And now I feel bad. I should reach out to her, because I dumped her because her mother died. So when my mother died, I thought about her, because I was like, who the fuck? I don't want to hang out with nobody and got a mother. What the fuck kind of person are you? So I always hung out with Irish chicks.
I've never thought of that. Wow. Yeah.
So I'm an Irish woman. I love Italian women. I love black women. I love Spanish women. But the ones that'll tolerate my shit, and under when I say to somebody, I'm going to stab you in the eye with a knife, most women will run. An Irish girl will go, Joey, put the knife down. Come on. I hate potatoes. Get in the fucking house. You know what I'm saying? What's the matter with you? Out here yelling like a fucking reeking, you know, what the fuck. So all those things contributed to it. As much as I didn't want a girlfriend, I really loved her. And I got to be honest with you, as much as an animal as I am, the first 4 years I was with her, I treated her with pretty much cotton gloves. I kept her out of my affairs because I didn't want her to be in my world at no. But when I got the longest yard, that's when I woke up one morning and my football uniform was laid out for me at 4:15 in the morning.
You're doing Deion Sanders shit for you. Jesus Christ, that's how he used to do his lay out the socks and all.
No, he just threw, you know, she didn't lay it out.
I know, but the jersey, the pants, it's out there.
And I just looked at her one day and I go, you know, like, I didn't even say nothing. What woman, if you go home now and tell your woman that you had an argument, they're thinking of leaving you. If you do something wrong in a relationship, a woman will fucking leave you in a heartbeat. You know, like the way my wife left me in 91, you know. I don't know. With Terry, it seemed like when I got The Longest Yard and I saw that close out, I was like, okay, this is my girl. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to keep her. You know, that was, by the time 2003, 2004 came, I was pretty busy with movies. I had done Spider-Man 2,
yeah.
You Got Nothing. I did a bunch of films. And my stand-up, I was opening for Rogan, so things were going on. The only thing that was really, really holding me back was my cocaine addiction. And I'll never forget that one night I had to call her to come get me on a fucking Monday morning. You know, when I left Saturday night, I got dragged in by these dudes at the store. And we went to their house in Hollywood and we did coke. We did everything. And at 8 in the morning on a Monday, I had to call my wife and tell her to pick me up by Fairfax, by the Starbucks there, and across from that breakfast joint. And I'll never forget, I was so embarrassed. I was on a 2-day binge. I was foaming at the mouth. She drove me home. She put me in bed. You know, I barked. She understood. And I was so fucking embarrassed. And I remember I slept for 2 days after that run. And I'll never forget getting in her car to drive and at a light, just puking.
Out the door, yeah.
3 days later, I covered my hand when the puke started shooting out. It hit the visor. Behind the light, the puke is hitting my fucking head on the visor.
Oh, God, dude.
But all those things attributed to me to, like, I had to give her a chance. I couldn't fuck her over. Like, I could not end it like I ended all my other relationships. That was not going to happen. We were not going to end up like her picking my clothes up in jail or something. Like, you know, I get arrested and she's got to bring my clothes to jail. So when I get out of jail, I basically got nowhere to live. Like, that wasn't going to get to that part with her. So I knew then that I had to clean up my life. I kept doing coke, guys. I kept it away from her. But over the years, I could tell it was starting to affect her. And then she went home for her brother's babies. My brother-in-law was going to have his first child. And my wife went back in like 2004. And when she came back, she was a little depressed. I could tell that she wasn't herself. You know, she was getting older and she wanted a family. And we'll end it right there.
Boom. I love you, brother.
And that's 2004. Yeah,
hold on. I want to timestamp that. We're ending it. What month? Where are we at?
August 2004.
All right, we're going to pick up next time, August 2004. I love you, brother. You want to promote anything?
No, I got my shows are sold out at Uncle Funny, Uncle Vinny's down in Point Pleasant. I got 3 more shows left. I'm going to add some shows, but I got a residency starting September 17th at the Sony Theater. I'll keep everybody afloat on that.
Fuck yeah. And good for you, brother.
Yeah, let's do this in 2 weeks or so. So we continue this story. This is a good story.
This is a great one. This is one of my favorite episodes. I got to say, this time right here is one of my favorites.
This is when I started drawing in. Don't get me wrong. I was still a fucking savage. But I had it in my mind that this was all coming to an end soon. Either, what's the expression? You got to shit or get off the pot.
Shit or get off the pot, brother.
That's the name of this episode, cocksucker.
Perfect. I love you. And as always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.